I want to welcome all of you and tell you how excited I am for our time together tonight and for the things that we will be able to enjoy from and learning from our college students. And for those of you who have volunteered to come as college students and young adults from River Road to share with us tonight, I am especially thankful for you to take time out of your studying and making that time to fit in and share with us. We are excited to learn from you tonight. Just so that we can kind of know how things will unfold, all of the students have received a set of questions from me that they've had a chance to think on or consider. And they are going to introduce themselves to you and let you know who they are and where they're in school, what year they're in. If there's one other detail they want to let you know, that's fine. And then I will ask the questions that they have received. Following that, you all will have the opportunity to ask them questions or make comments yourselves. So you can jot something down if you want to, or be ready for that when we get to the end. And then we will have a prayer for our students at the end. And of course, as we begin, we ask God to bless and guide our time together for the benefit of deeper relationships with one another and for stronger ministry. And so I want to welcome you and ask our students, if they will, one at a time, to introduce themselves, not be shy, and tell you some things about themselves.
I'm Colin Bailey. If you see me at church, I'm oftentimes with Beth Rooney. We got engaged almost a year ago, and I've been coming to River Road for as long as we've been dating, so almost 6 years. I am currently doing my PhD. I'm in my first year of my PhD program at VCU, doing chemical engineering. A little bit about me. I enjoy playing video games, doing computer stuff outside of school, and skiing along with some other activities. So,
hi everyone. I'm Lindsay Stevens. I am a sophomore at the University of Richmond. And a little bit about me. I'm a biology major with minors in classics and environmental studies. I am on the pre-position assistant track, and just some activities I like to do. I joined the women's ultimate frisbee team at Richmond this year, so that's been something I really enjoy. And then I'm just involved with some nonprofits on campus and our like student events committee. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
I'm Emma. I'm a senior at the University of Richmond. I'm studying journalism and leadership with a minor in classical studies. A little bit about me, I'm on the school's online newspaper staff, so I'm the lifestyle editor. I'm really interested in fashion and marketing, so hoping to find a job somewhere in the world. If anybody knows anybody, please. A girl is looking for employment, so nice to be here.
I'm Jessica, obviously. I go to the University of Mary Washington in Fredericksburg, where I am a double major in historic preservation and classics and archaeology, and maybe a potential museum studies major. Minor, who knows? I also do cheer and dance at the school, because dance, at least, I've done for a very long time.
I'm Meg. I'm a junior at James Madison University. Go Dukes. And I am a WRTC major, which is just writing, rhetoric, and technical communication. And I'm minoring in honors and English. I am a part of InterVarsity, which is a Christian fellowship here on campus. I live with some girls in that fellowship. And I work at the Alumni Center. And this semester, I'm interning with Passport. So that's what I'm up to for this year.
My name is Beth. I recently just graduated from the University of Virginia with a bachelor's in religious studies and a master's in education. And currently I'm, as you can tell from my virtual classroom, I'm teaching fifth grade at Tuckahoe Elementary for the rest of the school year, because one of the teachers couldn't teach anymore due to the possibility of coming back in person. So that's what I'm doing right now. And in the fall, I'll be heading to seminary at Union Presbyterian. So that's where I am.
My name is Spencer McTurk. I'm a sophomore at Virginia Tech, studying mechanical engineering. I'm involved with a couple of design teams here on campus. Still here, obviously, in the buildings. So I got the mask on and everything, but excited to be here tonight.
And I guess it leaves me. So, hey, everybody, I'm Joey. And it's so good to see everybody again. I really miss seeing a lot of these people. But about me, I'm a second year at UVA. I am majoring in econ and minoring in computer science. Although literally yesterday I applied to their business school. So cross my fingers for good news there. Outside of class, I run a tutoring program for low-income students. I'm involved with a consulting club for nonprofit businesses in Charlottesville. And I'm also really big into swimming at UVA. So yeah, that's what I do.
Great. You guys are fantastic and very busy with lots of things. What surprised you about entering the adult work or college world in good ways and not so good ways?
I guess if I can speak, one thing I've started to notice as I've started kind of sort of maybe becoming an adult and starting to do some things on my own, something kind of exciting, kind of scary I've noticed is that a lot of people seem to just, you know, everybody's just trying their best and nobody really knows what's going on. And people who I used to see as older than me are now my peers. And seeing the fact that everybody's just trying their best and kind of winging it, you know, in some ways it changes how you see the people that used to be so much older than you. But in other ways, it, you know, it's kind of inspiring because it shows me that, you know, everyone's just like me doing their best. And if they can do it, I can too. So that's been a big part of growing up for me.
I think we'll touch on this a little bit later as well. But something that surprised me is just the amount of freedom I've gotten since coming to college and really just starting my adult journey. These are good things and bad because I can figure out what to prioritize and what to spend my time on. But let's say we get to like 10 p.m. and I have been doing stuff all day and haven't started my homework. That's when I realized that maybe not having the freedom to decide what I get to do whenever I get to do it may not be the best all the time, but you live and learn. And I think that's one of the great things about becoming an adult.
Kind of going off of that, Lindsay, I found with college and just after high school life, you really can't do everything. You can't be in all of these different kinds of clubs at the same time and have a life outside of it and hang out with friends and be in class and do well. So it's really talking about investment and who you're going to invest in and where you're going to invest your time. And this is like a great time to find what you're passionate about and find what you really care about and just follow that. So I've really enjoyed investing my time in the people that I'm surrounded by and the organizations that I've been working for.
Yeah, I would echo everything that's been said so far. I think something that really surprised me too was that I kind of expected college and the adult world to be really cutthroat. And at times it is that. Like, it's definitely, there's sometimes not a cushion there. But other times it's really surprised me how kind and welcoming people can be. And I think, like, after high school, you expect that, like, okay, fly little birdie, like, you're gone. Like, do your own thing now. And it's still, like, there's a lot of guidance there and there's a lot of forgiveness. So I think that that's been really helpful going through college and slowly entering the adult world now.
I'm glad that's your experience.
One thing that I found out is that it's kind of good and bad, is that when I'm home after a few weeks, I want to go back to campus and see my friends and go to class and do those activities. But then, like, by the end of the semester, I'm ready to go home again. So it's almost kind of confusing trying to figure out how to live two different, or not completely different, but two parts of your life that aren't in the same place.
In what ways were you prepared for the journey into this part of your life?
I can speak to this one a little bit. I feel like growing up in youth group and just as a kid at our church, I definitely felt like I was prepared to take on like whatever I needed to in college. But also, I think like for me, when I got to UVA, I thought I knew, like I wanted to join a faith organization because I was Christian and that was a part of my life. But what I didn't know is that it prepared me for a situation in college that I didn't know would have happened. So like my ministry, my first year at UVA was very not like good at all, not something that I felt was life-giving. And so I think the notion of being a part of River Road and the ministry that kind of helped me grow up, helped me get through that situation and helped me realize my theology, and it helped me grow. I think all the things that we learned from Chester and from people around the church that have gone on mission trips with us, that have raised us basically, I think really formed my beliefs, and it grounded me in the sense that even though I experienced that situation in my first year at UVA with that campus ministry that wasn't life-giving, I was still able to push forward after that and realize I didn't need a campus ministry in college to keep my faith, because there wasn't one there that was for me. So I think still being connected to River Road has been really important for me, and keeping grounded in what I've learned growing up has been really important for me.
Yeah, kind of going off of that, I feel like in the aspect of River Road, I feel like River Road prepared us a lot to have a home to come back to. And that's something that I actually talked with Marnie the other day. I sent her a quote that I was reading, one of the books that she sent me to read that she really liked. And I found that it's prepared me with friendships that I can always come home to too, or I can always text people with that. So there's always been a some place to come back to. And that's been really important. Like Beth said, a place that's grounded and that doesn't change.
Kind of touching on points that Meg and Beth both brought up. I think that with River Road, I was really taught I prioritized what I enjoyed, and like going to youth group and going to church during my middle school and high school years, I really made sure that I could continue doing that because it's something that I enjoyed. And so when I got to college, I realized that I still need to have that balance of, if I enjoy something, I'm gonna need to balance school and like work and fun times after that. Kind of talking about like service as well, like the mission trips and any of the trips that we went on during the summer or any retreats, they really helped me find a love for service. And so even though the service nonprofit organization I'm with now like doesn't necessarily have Christian ties, it's still very much an organization that follows Christian beliefs, like just doing good for others and making sure that everyone's provided for. So I think church really helped with that.
Are there ways that you feel like you could have been better prepared for the things that you face and have faced as you have been where you are?
I think with any type of experience, it's always learning. You're always learning when it's something you haven't done before and you're being exposed to it for the first time. And regardless of how much preparation you can have going into it, your headspace, whatever you want to say, you're always going to be caught off guard. And so I think there's something to say about over-preparing and not having that kind of drive you to do too much, but having enough to make sure you can get by and still make sure you do what you want to do in the end.
What in particular are you enjoying about having greater autonomy, being able to do things yourself, make your own decisions, find your way?
For me, just kind of, I can go and do things whenever I want, do whatever I want. No one really has to tell me, no, you can't do that or go do your homework. But obviously with the program that I'm in, I have to be able to make those decisions as to just how I should use my time, because outside of just homework and classes, I also have responsibility of, I'm doing research in a lab along with being a TA for a class. So like last semester, that was a large learning curve, especially with being online. I had to do like office hours and stuff for school. And I had a responsibility to those students as well. So I couldn't, even with the greater autonomy, I had to kind of reel myself in and be like, okay, you can't just go and do whatever you want. So I've actually had some responsibility at VCU greater than just my own self.
I can jump off of that. So when I was at UVA, I lived in a house with five other girls, and that was super fun. And I loved learning how to like cook and like do all those adult things. So that was definitely the fun part of having that autonomy. But there were also times when I wanted to like just do my homework and have my mom fix me dinner. So there's those times when like I would wish I didn't have to, I have to go cook dinner. I really didn't want to do that. So it's been weird coming home. I'm at home now, coming back and not having the same autonomy, but not in the same way. So it's a little different right now, but I'm enjoying it. So it's kind of, it definitely, I think, is difficult coming back home after having so much autonomy for such a long time, because I'm so used to doing things my way. I mean, if anyone knows me, I have a specific way of doing things. That's been really hard for me, I think, but it definitely in college, it was super fun to learn how to do all of those things on my own and be independent. So that's been really fun.
One thing I really like about the autonomy is that there is no structure to tell me how to build my life or what to do with my life, which is not something that I had at home. You know, there's always, you know, you go to class, you go to school for certain hours a day. You have social time for certain hours a day, family time, downtime. You know, it's very structured, but in college, every decision is up to you, and every decision you make has an impact on who you become as a person. And whether that's choosing more time to spend with people you care about, or spending more time working, or just taking some downtime, that, you know, every decision comes down to you and nobody else. And so there's something so novel about that, but knowing that every single step you take impacts who you are. It's really cool. And it means that you can go anywhere.
A couple of the things that you all have mentioned kind of alluded to the fact that there are upsides to it, but there are also downsides to it. Like having to fix dinner when you don't feel like it. And that might be a Fruit Loop night, which you get to do because you get to make that decision. Sometimes that's extra nice too. Are there other things that you would name as downsides to the autonomy?
I think somebody said this earlier, and I can't remember who it was, but just like prioritizing what you really want to invest in. I think it was actually Meg who said this. I think in my early years of college, I really struggled to say no to things because I wanted to do everything and I wanted to be at all the places at once and explore all those things. Like Jerry said, we have so many choices. And it was hard for me to cut back and be like, whoa, like I'm doing too much and like need to take care of myself. So I think that that's one major downside of having autonomy like so immediately, is you can sometimes overcommit and forget about taking care of yourself and prioritizing what's most important.
For me, I think one of the downside is I have a hard time not having a lot of structure in my day. And so suddenly having all this free time, and I'm getting better at it, but figuring out, I knew when I had class and I knew when I wanted to do my homework, but figuring out what to do with the rest of the time, except for sit in my room and read a book, was hard at first. But this year I've gotten a lot better, but it was hard to figure out how to structure the day, even with anything.
Kind of making dinner, but there's really no one here to tell me to do my chores, do laundry at least once a week, keep your room clean, at least your side of it, which I'm definitely kind of guilty of sometimes, especially when I'm really focused on school or other things. And I'm just I'll get to it later. So I guess a downside would be not having someone there and making myself make sure that I keep all of my things in order. So we're slowly getting better, but that was definitely something that I needed to work on when I first came to college.
Yeah, kind of going off of that, I live in a house with 7 other girls, and we have chore charts that we make ourselves. We're in charge of cleaning the surfaces every night. When it's our laundry night, we take a Clorox wipe, and we wipe down all the shared surfaces, it's COVID. And we have different chores assigned to us every week, but it's just been really cool to see people step up in the house and take that autonomy and leadership and help us take care of the house that we live in, because I don't know if I would have done that on my own, because I don't really like doing chores at my house. You can ask Beth. She mostly did a lot of the cleaning. it's been really, really cool, taking that new step of autonomy, but still having that dependency on my parents. It's been nice not having to pay for groceries, but I get to go choose what to pay for, or to use the money that my parents give me for that. So it's being on your own, but not too far where you feel it's really too stressful, I feel as a college student.
If you could tell yourself one important piece of information, one thing that would help you in the summer after you graduated from high school, before you went on this new adventure, what would you tell yourself?
I think the easiest answer, and a lot of us would probably agree, is to spend the most time you can with the friends and families you have at home, because that time will be completely gone once you leave in August for school. And I take advantage of it as much as possible going home for breaks. And I really enjoy seeing my friends and family at home. But sometimes you think back and say, that summer before school, what happens if I could have done it a little differently and spent a little bit more time at home, had some more family dinners, hung out with some of my friends from high school some more that I normally don't see now. And it's all that hindsight, but that's something that I definitely have thought about a lot and wish I could have done a little bit differently that summer.
One thing that I would say is that, and I went back early for the honors program, but don't be afraid to branch out from that first group of friends that you make, because I had one good group of friends last year and I'm very glad I met them. But by the end of the year, I wasn't having the best time with them. And so this year I've branched out and I'm closer to some people on the cheer team and the dance team. And I started actually going to Classics Club. So just don't be afraid to move past that first group of people.
I would have to echo that, Jessica. I think that was my one thing that I wish I had done my first year, was not hang out exclusively with a group from the campus ministry I was a part of. Because my second year, I had two friends, because the rest of my friends I didn't really want to hang out with because they were from that campus ministry and were very toxic. So I think telling myself to expand my horizons a little bigger and not just keep that one group, I think that definitely would have benefited me a lot. And I would have had a lot more fun in college. I think I didn't have as much fun as I should have. So I think tell myself to branch out and to have more fun, for sure.
I did kind of tell myself this when I went into college, but I think my biggest advice would be, like, you're going into a new place with a bunch of people who you don't know. Just be the person you want to be, because, like, I could, I don't know, not make myself up, but, like, choose the qualities that I enjoyed and wanted to really show to other people. So, like, being really friendly and being really positive. And if I, like, hadn't really exhibited those traits in high school, I could definitely show them off when I got to college and just be everything I wanted to be. So that was something I told myself.
I think we talked about this a little bit earlier about not having everything figured out and that being okay. But I think I spent the majority of my freshman and sophomore year just trying to figure out what major I wanted to choose. I changed my major probably 6 or 7 times. and yeah, but I think patience is just really important, and trusting the process that you will stumble upon what you're passionate about, but you just have to give yourself time to try different classes and see what professors you really connect with, and just go with your gut instinct on that. And I'm really, really glad that I ended up with the major that I did. But it takes a while. I think patience is really important in that.
I would have told myself, don't be afraid to fail. Especially learning from the past couple of years in my internships and with school, failures are going to happen. I mean, it's part of growing up, but as long as you learn from those failures and get something out of them, as long as, you know, you're always getting something out of failure, you'll grow from it, you'll get better. If you were perfect all the time, life would be pretty boring. Some of the greatest memories I have are failures. So I would tell myself not to be afraid to fail.
I would tell myself to keep an open mind about everything. You know, it's a pretty cliche expression, keep an open mind. And I definitely took that when it came to taking classes, especially my first semester. It took all sorts of different subjects and everything, but I didn't really have that same open mind when it came to everything else outside the classroom, which is between what I did for clubs or what I did with people I hung out with. And I think I was really set in my ways. I thought, this is who I want to be, these are the people I want to be with. And kind of what Jessica, Beth, Lindsay have said, there's so much out there that I never would have known about. I mean, at the last minute, somebody talked me into joining a fraternity, and I would have stayed far, far away from that had I not on a whim experienced that. And it's not at all what I thought it was. It's a wonderful group of people that I can't imagine not having their support now. And so I discovered that eventually, but I wish I knew that from the beginning, to keep an open mind about everything I do.
Yeah, I mean, my last year's roommate who had cheered for a long time, she said, do you want to come with me to, like, these open tryouts? Or they weren't even tryouts yet, they were like open gyms. I was like, sure, why not? And I'm really glad I did, because now I've met a group of really great people.
Do you all believe that young adults are generally prepared for what lies ahead when they leave home, or not prepared? What has been your experience?
I think it depends on what your expectations are for college. I think when you have expectations, they can kind of set you up to be a little disappointed, or even just not experience the blessing as well as it could have been. So I feel like students are, or like high schoolers are, prepared in a sense for that autonomy and that time to be just searching for themselves and what they want to do. But I know I wasn't personally prepared for, like, to be thrown into all these new, like, groups of people and not having River Road to come back to every Sunday, or not having high school friends to see in the hallways, or high school, like, teachers that I became really, really close with and depended on for my education, just like my social well-being. So I don't know if that's everyone else's experience, but I feel like it's really hard if you have the expectation that things are going to be similar to high school, and it's just very different, and it's hard to transition from that more than you realize at the time.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would also say it's just generally a really big learning curve, like in how to be a human, like how to be a person and be independent. So I think that your parents like teach you, and like the church has taught us like to do all of these things to be successful and to like be our true authentic selves. But there's still like a huge learning curve at the end of the day that we all experience going through college.
Yeah, I would say like in regards to UVA, I don't know if Joey experienced this at all, but I feel like generally people came out of college thinking they were the best student, thinking they were, I mean, everyone that I knew were like top 10 in their class, got UVA. And so being thrown into that, environment where it was super competitive all the time, like I had a competitive high school experience too, and being thrown into that environment at UVA was very, just kind of, I wasn't prepared for that. I wasn't prepared for people like doing 10 clubs at one time, you know, being president of all of them and saying, you know, you need to do this to get a good job, to get into this, you know, grad school program. I think going into a school like that was hard for me because I didn't want that to be my college experience. I wanted it to be something more authentic. So I think I wasn't prepared for that part, but I think I learned, kind of like Emma and Meg said, it's a learning curve. And I learned that that's not what college is all about, in my opinion. I don't think it's entirely about academics. I think it's honestly, for the most part, about learning to be a human and like learning to do things on your own and learning to be someone who wants to make change in the world. And I think learning that was really important. And I think I wasn't necessarily prepared for that, but it's something I definitely learned.
Okay, let me go to a couple of other questions because I know our time is getting along, but what do you think are the biggest obstacles that your generation is concerned about?
I think for me, at least, it's whether we're gonna have a planet to have issues to be concerned about. Like, honestly, that's something that I'm thinking about every single day. I think I was talking to Colin actually at dinner one time, and he was sharing a statistic. He can share it if he wants. But it was so scary. And sorry, something got in my eye just now. But I think it's just hard to focus on everything else. Like, the social issues are so important, and I'm passionate about Black Lives Matter and just supporting minorities and just trying to give them areas to speak on the issues that they're really passionate about as well. But without a like world to live in with climate change, it's really hard to feel like you can make a difference right now, for honestly. So it's all about trying to save the planet, for me at least.
So going off what Meg said, what we were talking about was, I saw a study where they said we have 6 years left, 7 years left, if we continue on our current pace of pollution and destroying the planet, deforestation and all that, that we'll have irreversible damage to the planet. And that if it were to continue on its pace or grow, we may not have a habitable planet by 2050. And I've done some engineering classes where we've actually calculated carbon output. We've calculated how much gas we have left on the planet for our vehicles. That could run out potentially in 30 years. So I think the planet, I'm really into like renewable energy sources, electric cars, solar panels, wind turbines, stuff like that. But I'm doing a lot of my research in pharmaceuticals. But pharmaceuticals are actually can be a pretty bad polluter of the environment. So I think trying to turn that into a more green industry, because obviously we need pharmaceuticals. Without that, we wouldn't have a vaccine that we're seeing we so desperately need right now. So I think trying to turn that industry into a more green and earth conscious workplace is what I'm concerned about.
I think this goes along with what Meg and Colin are both saying, but our generation, because of social media, I think has a major tendency to take on all the world's problems as our own and to like really collect that weight and put it on our shoulders and think it's like entirely our responsibility. And I think it really wears down on us, and we tend to forget that like everybody also cares about these problems, and that, you know, we're not just one individual trying to solve all of the world's problems, because we're always told like, oh, you're the future, like you're in charge of the future, make sure it's great. But I think we like forget that our own personal problems are just as important and should be prioritized among the world's many problems as well.
This is kind of a little different, but I think in regards to, I'm going to speak regards to like the church and religion. I think people our age are looking for a place where they feel authentic and they feel like they won't be judged for having different viewpoints. I think I saw in college very two different groups of people. I saw people who had a very rigid understanding of religion and a very, this understanding that there cannot be anything else but my opinion. And then I saw the other side where, you know, there was no religion at all. People were disgusted with it. And I think one of the main problems is that there's really not anything in between for people going into college. And I wish there was a place for young people, I mean, not just at UVA, but at other colleges, where there was like religious organizations that weren't cutthroat, that didn't tell you you had to do things, and that were welcoming and open-minded. I think that's all really people are looking for, and not being told what to do, I think is really important too. So I think religion is a big one, because I think it's one of the issues that is disappearing in our country, because a lot of young people don't believe in it anymore, or are becoming spiritual but not religious. That's one of the classes I took at UVA. So I think the understanding that we need to be welcoming and open-minded, and I think young people are looking for places where they can be themselves and they can have any belief that they want. And I think honestly, a place like River Road, I mean, I was looking for a place like that, but there's really none at UVA. And I don't know about other colleges, but I wish there were places like that.
Let me ask you if you think what you think the church might be able to do to better support you through this season of life. What ways could we be present for you and be supportive?
I love receiving the like little gift baskets from the church when I was in college with the notes, with like the food and stuff, with the candy and all that, just to know that someone was thinking about me and other than just my family. It was good to know that someone was there. So yeah.
Yeah, going off of that, I've enjoyed those as well, but I also just like seeing everyone's faces. It's just been a long time since I've seen everyone, and just like coming home for break, it's always great to see friends from youth group or just everyone that you see every Sunday, and they're in their usual spot in their usual pew, and you can look and see if they're there that week. So I just miss seeing people's faces. And so it's really nice to see all of you tonight, and I really just appreciate it.
I mean, one thing for me is that along with chiropractors and like doing stuff like this, and I know not everybody might have time, but I know I really enjoy just getting a letter, like kind of doing a pen pal type thing. I did that with an incoming freshman this year to help her transition into her first wacky year in college.
And I really enjoyed doing that and just the fun, like, at least for me, it's really fun to get a piece of mail, especially from someone that I haven't seen in a while.
I want to allow other people to have an opportunity to comment or encourage you to ask questions, to affirm something that they've heard you say. But I can tell, I know that you all have lots to teach us. We've been teaching you all for a long time, and we know that young people and young adults and younger than that, we're learning too. And, you know, and I heard one of you say, I think it was Spencer, or Joey, we're just learning as we go. And now I've realized that everybody's kind of doing that. And so for all the rest of us who are in the meeting, who you've kind of exposed us, we are learning as we go too. And we've had to learn that as well. So we will continue to learn from you, and we want to be open to do that. And we want to hear your voices, and we are grateful for you. Let me allow others to speak to you, and you all can respond to them.
That's a great segue into the question I would like to ask our young people. Folks of a certain age, when we get together, we start talking about the future of the church and how we can continue to grow and attract young people and young families. So we know you love the church, but if you could be reflective and help us think about our future, what can we do to keep attracting or do a better job of attracting young folks and families to the church?
Well, I think River Road has a really strong way of actually putting God's words into action, whether that's creating really supportive communities or all the mission work that we do. I think that's what really River Road speaks to. And I think that young people are really interested in doing good and helping the world. And there's a strong overlap there. And so I think really emphasizing how River Road makes God's world better is a good way to say that we're not just about singing songs on Sunday. We're not just about Sunday school and scripture. Because while those are important, I think people really want to see, how are we taking God's word and making something positive out of it? And I think that resonates with people our age. And so River Road already does a great job with that. But I think continuing to push that would really have an impact on people like us.
Yeah, to bounce off of Joey, I think kind of what I said earlier, I think we already do this. I think we're already very open and already very welcoming. And but I think continuing that, it would be very important for younger families and young people like ourselves. I think maybe having a group for young people might be important to draw people in to just, that's optional, don't have to come, not something they feel obligated to do. I think, I don't know, I think people our age don't want to feel obligated to do something, but I think it's also very important to have community. So I think, you know, continuing the trend of being open-minded and welcoming to all people, I think we already do a good job of that, but I think continuing that and really opening ourselves up to all different kinds of people will be really important. And maybe even having a group for young adults to meet, maybe not necessarily on Sunday mornings, but a time when is convenient for them, I think would be really important.
I just have a compliment to these mature people. I heard almost every one of you, and Colin, I think you said it very explicitly, but everybody alluded to it, the idea of learning from failure and not being letting yourself fail and not seeing it as a terrible thing, but that you can learn from it. And I was probably like 55 years old before I thought about that concept. And I came across it in my job as a gifted resource teacher, and it's called the growth mindset versus fixed mindset. And maybe some of you guys had that. but it was very transformational for me as a as an almost senior adult, or probably was. You guys would say I was a senior adult then. So I'm just delighted that you guys have already discovered that and that you're already able to incorporate it into your life and recognize that you don't have to know everything, that you're still learning, and that's the way life should be. And when you make a mistake, you just accept it and move on and you learn from it. So I'm just saying kudos to you guys for already having figured that out. I think that's great.
You guys are truly inspiring, and you have uplifted us tonight. And you know a lot that I sure didn't know at your age. And that's a sign of our times, that you all are exposed to a lot more experiences. But I grab every experience you can, have some fun, enjoy the outdoors, because those are the memories, 40 years from now, when, Rose was sang in the choir with me at William and Mary. And now all these years later, we're still friends, and those are treasures. And so you are planting seeds. And the other thing I'll say is, whether you realize it or not, you're living your faith every day in ways that you may not even be able to name. And I know I wasn't great with spiritual practice, still am not every day, but there are elements of how Jesus modeled how we should live that I can tell from your grounding that you're living. So we're just really grateful to have this time tonight. Thank you so much.
Hi friends, I just wanna say I'm so happy to see all of you. I love all of y'all so much. Thank you for sharing with us, but when you move, tell me your address, because then you will get things.
On behalf of everyone, I just want to say how awfully proud we are of you. The people that you are and are becoming, the ways you live your faith genuinely and authentically, your passion for serving God by serving others and seeking to make better some of the things that older generations, including mine and others, have messed up. And your commitment to inclusivity, to leaving no one behind, and is inspiring. And I hope that you won't wait for someone to offer you a seat at the table, but you just take one in church, everywhere, because you have something to offer. You're incredibly gifted and smart and faithful. And on behalf of the ministers, we learn from you every day, and we're grateful for you.
Let's pray together. Lord God, we are so grateful for these students. We celebrate their wisdom and insight. We are grateful for their honesty and their willingness to share openly with us so that we can learn. We trust that they are going to continue on this journey of growth, that you are going to continue to walk with them on that, that you will be faithful to them. We ask that you would guard over them, that you would bless them, that you would challenge them and call them to the tasks that they are passionate about. Thank you for what we hear in them. Let their lives be given to things that matter to you. Remind them that they are ever yours and dearly loved, and that they have a church that loves them as well. Strengthen the ministries that we have with our college students, with our young adults, with our world at large, as we are open and kind and serving, as that's been pointed out. We thank you for our time together tonight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.